Let us pray. O God, guide us as we hear your word this morning. Grant us open hearts and humility as we seek to live lives in line with your precepts. Forgive us our vanity, our frail interpretation, our certainty. As we approach your scripture, O Lord, bestow upon our spirits your perfect mercy and love. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from chapter 4 of Mark. I'll be reading to the 20th verse, actually. Hear again the word of God. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no roots, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears hear." When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? But how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on a rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only for a while. Then when troubles or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. The gospel of the Lord. Last Sunday, we started with the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news went something like this, that God came from God's side in the person of Jesus, and He came to save us. In that process, He taught us what it means to be God in terms that we humans can understand, and set an example and taught us what it means to be human, to which we aspire, although sometimes we fall short because of our sinfulness. And that good news is for everybody, because everybody can live into the kingdom or the realm of God. Everyone can aspire for justice and practice mercy and walk humbly open to the future that God has for us. Everybody can do this, and yet we also recognize that there are a few, if they're listening, who are called to share the good news themselves, to be willing to speak of Jesus and invite people to follow Him, and are willing to live lives of integrity, lives where we do seek justice and practice mercy and try to walk humbly with God. And those people who have signed up to be willing to speak of Jesus and urge people to trust Him and to follow Him, those people who are called and accept the charge to live with integrity, we call them Christians, or sometimes church members. But we are the people who have been trusted with the good news of Jesus Christ, and there is no other. Those of us here and those who are in the universal body of Christ, we are the ones trusted. Now, the question that comes before us today is the whole matter of timing. When is it a good time to speak of the love of God through Jesus Christ? When is it a good time to model justice and mercy and faith? I don't know about you, but many Presbyterians are a little bit reticent about sharing their faith. They've seen so many people take good news and turn it into bad news and then hammer somebody with it, that they're afraid to share their faith at all. And so if you ask them, when is a good time to share their faith, they do an inventory and say, you know what, I really can't think of a really good time ever. I might take the risk, but I'm telling you, there's no really good time because, wow, you know, we know how this can go down. That can be kind of a Presbyterian response. The Methodists, I'm sure, are off the hook totally, right? But the Presbyterians can be pretty stinking reticent when it comes to sharing good news. But here's some really interesting statistics developed recently, and I think we might want to listen up to this, because of course our concern is that other people might not want to hear from us. But listen to this. 82% of the unchurched are at least somewhat likely to attend church if invited. 82%. And yet, only 2% of church members invite an unchurched person to church. Which is to say that 98% of churchgoers never extend an invitation to come to church in a given year. A study including more than 15,000 adults revealed that about 2/3 of them are willing to receive information about a local church from a family member, and 56% are willing to get that information from a friend or neighbor. That's right, more than 50%, 56%. It seems, the conclusion is, that the unchurched are open to conversations about church and being invited. They might even like it. 4% of formerly churched adults are actively looking for a church to attend regularly, actively searching, 4%. 6% would prefer to resume attending regularly in the same church that they had attended. But the largest group, 62%, although they're not actively looking, they're very open to the idea of attending church regularly again. 62%, wow.
But here is the final assessment made in the studies. And this is a little disturbing. Very few of the unchurched had someone share with them how to become a Christian. And Christians have not been particularly influential in their lives. In other words, Christians were far more unwilling to share their faith than other people were hungry to hear it. Much fewer Christians were willing to invite an unchurched person to church than those who wanted to be invited. So maybe this question about timing is pretty stinking important. Because to invite someone just to trust Jesus is, and trusting Him is just how you become a Christian. God kind of takes over the rest of the problem. So, it's all about timing. And you and I know that timing's a huge deal. If you Google, thank the Lord for Google. If you Google timing, you have a series of responses. Here are the ones that really stood out for me. You know, it's all about the timing. This is the message. It's all about the timing. For example, retirement. It's all in the timing. If you quit work right before a bull market, your portfolio will thrive. But if you quit just before a downturn, you risk outliving your money. Here's another one. Finding true love. It's all about timing. Telling me. Metronome online. It's all about timing. Yeah, I know. It's all in the timing. Get organized. Organizing your own schedule. Finding the time to both study and have fun. That's for new college students, by the way. It's all in the timing. Time and its importance in spirituality. Want your tweets to go viral? It's all in the timing. Want to get pregnant? It's all in the timing. And my personal favorite, it's all about timing, maximizing your fungicide application. I assume they're talking about crops, by the way, but you never know. Jesus' parable is about timing. He tells a story about the worst farmer ever. There is no farmer more lousy than this farmer. This farmer is the worst farmer ever. You see, in those days, before you ever planted the seed, you take a stick. And you go around the property and you stick the stick in the property, and that told you what was real hard soil that was past, and that also told you, by the way, where the rocks were, and that told you to a great degree as they came up where the brambles were, the weeds, and it told you where the good soil was. But this guy never bothered to go out and check the soil. It kind of reminds me when I bought a new house. And I would buy a new house, finally learned my lesson by about the third one, and I would, in the middle of the winter, I'd plant my garden. This is exactly where I'm going to put the garden, with all the flowers, and this is where the vegetables were, and I had this perfect view and everything. But I missed the fact that the winter sun is not in the same place as the summer sun. And I missed the fact that those stinking trees grew leaves. And suddenly my perfect garden for all those sun-loving tomatoes was right in the shade all day long. And of course I'd have to start all over again. This guy, there's no planning to this guy. But what does he do? He takes the seed and he just throws it. He must have thrown it to the wind. He throws it all over the place, and some hits the path, he gets eaten by birds, and some hits rocky soil, which is a very thin veneer of soil. The plants spring up, but the sun fries them, eventually fries the roots. And then some hits places where eventually thistles are going to come up and choke it out. And of course he gets lucky and some hits good ground, which is amazingly, totally productive. Like, it was so productive that you start thinking to yourself, wow, this farmer's not so stupid after all, because he put down enough seed that the little bit that did hit good soil actually came up and produced a crop and reproduced itself. It could have been more efficient, but yeah, it all worked out in the end. The right soil got seed, after all. And Jesus goes on to say, now, what's the lesson here? There's really a couple. One he elaborates on more fully. One is a little hidden to us, so we'll get to it. But the first has to do with the soil. And I, from my perspective, would have to look at this pastorally. There are people I know who were abused as children. And that has given them a pretty hard heart. The ability to trust anybody, anything, and including trusting God, has basically been knocked out of them. And that is evil. There are people who have lived in places where they've been critiqued to death, maybe by parents or other adults, and so their ability to trust has been taken from them. And that too is evil. And God knows that we live in this wonderful climate of intellectual activity, but we've got a lot of cynics wandering around here. A lot of people who are willing to belittle other people's faith. And that too will rob people of faith. And that too is a sort of manifestation of evil, in my opinion. I've known those type of people where the soil hits, the gospel hits, and it bounces off, and then it's gone. There are other people I know who come to church and they're very enthusiastic. They join the church, they're so excited to be here, but sometimes they're victims of magical thinking. They somehow think maybe the preacher's perfect or the congregation is perfect, or maybe that by coming to Christ and joining the church, all their problems will be taken from them. And in this magical thinking, they join, but as soon as something goes wrong in their lives, they lose it. They lose their enthusiasm. You've got to face the fact this Christian business, this church membership business is a slog. It's a marathon through a swamp. It's not a picnic in the park. Other people, and golly, we Americans know this, other people are just distracted. They're just too stinking busy. They've got too many commitments. Their children have too many commitments. There's too much on TV. There's too many fun things to do. They don't have time to hug and kiss God. It's just too worrisome. And they've got in their heads that they can maintain a faith outside the community of faith, which we know is you end up listening to yourself and not so much to God. They get so distracted that faith never matures in them, never has a chance. But there are people, which is why, you know, some of us are in the business. There are people where you plant the seed and they respond, and they not only respond, but they share the good news with other people, and they invite other people to come to know Christ and to come to know the church. And it's great. Those people are the ones you work for the most because they're so excited and they're so exciting. But here is the deeper meaning of the parable. This crazy farmer didn't care about timing. This crazy farmer sowed at the wrong time of year. This crazy farmer didn't care about where the seed went. This crazy farmer just put it out there, just kept putting it out there and putting it out there. Which means if we ask about timing, when is a good time to share God's love? When is a good time to share the good news? The answer is it's always a good time. It's always a good time to love people. It's always a good time to tell people that they're loved. It's always a good time to say the universe has meaning. There's always a good time. Not everybody, this is the wisdom, right? Not everybody can hear it. Not everybody can respond to it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with them other than something we ache for them. But the fact is, it's always good timing to share the good news of love. And to invite other people to respond to it joyfully. Because there's no bad news here. The kingdom of God is for everybody, but some of us are called to hear it and to share it. whom we call the Christians. Now, here's the question that is not answered in this sermon. Let's just bracket it and speak a moment about it. I have given you no formula about how to share your faith. I've given you nothing to memorize. I've not given you a series of spiritual laws. I'm not giving you something at the back door to take out. Why? The Bible has two teachings, I think, which are especially important. It says, number one, always be prepared to give an account of the hope that is within you. It doesn't say exactly how to frame that. It just says, be prepared. We were in Pakistan, where it's not illegal to share your faith unless asked. People there were pretty firm in their lives about who Jesus is and very firm about how special Jesus was to them, and they rejoiced in that, but they never shared it unless asked. But they were always prepared to answer the question. That's the preparation. Just know the goodness of God and the love of God. The other scripture says, when the time comes, you're called on to give witness. Rely upon the Holy Spirit. Don't practice in advance. So in other words, be spontaneous. Don't set up a formula. Be spontaneous in the sharing of your faith. Because the fact of the matter is that some people are ready, some people aren't, and it doesn't really matter what you say. And as much as you are sharing love, people hear love. No matter how practiced you may or may not be. So, the story's in. The stats have been counted. And you know what's true. That God is love. That God loves you. That there are plenty of people who just want to experience love, who just want to be invited into friendship and fellowship. And so the timing, as Jesus himself said last week, the time is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Now is the time to share love. To share faith. Amen.